Oops. Oh, well, that's ruined the whole show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And we haven't done this for about 2 weeks, our time, not your time. Your time, it's been a week, but two times have passed. The time has passed twice as much for Dave and I, because we're both part dog. I think that might be how it's working.
Okay.
Anyway, what we're doing right now, we'll let you behind.
Our personalities explained.
We'll let you behind the curtain a little bit. What we're doing now is we're recording two episodes in a row, then taking a week off. Two episodes in a row, taking a week off. So if our references seem like a week off,
yeah,
that or just making lots of weak references. That's the way it'll be.
That's difficult.
Yeah. Like, we're going to be like, oh, we're making fun of Ghostbusters. No one wants to see Ghostbusters, you know, because we're men and men hate Ghostbusters that are women, right? That's what they do? I don't know. I like it. I'm looking forward to it. And then it's like a huge success. Like, why don't the guys know that? It was a week ago that it opened and it was huge.
Yeah.
These fools. You might be having a bit of that business over the next little while.
It hasn't even opened yet. Those idiots.
Yeah.
What are they talking about? When does it open? It's in July, right?
July 15th.
Oh, okay. So we'll be, I'm not even sure what the date is today, to be honest with you.
No, it's the 7th today when we're recording.
Oh, it's the 7th today.
Yeah, again, okay. We're now really peeling the orange back and letting you know where we are in the past.
Well, let me ask you this. We've done it once. This was an experiment, and you requested this.
Yes.
Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy having the week off?
Yeah, very much so, because I got stuff done. There was things that I needed to do last week that was great, and next week, my niece and nephew are coming over. So that works out really well, too. So, how about you? Is it throwing you off?
It's thrown me off a little bit in the sense that it's kind of like a weekly roundup of what's happening in our lives.
Yeah, true. That is true.
And now I'm thinking like, oh, what happened 2 weeks ago?
Well, I'll tell you what the roundup.
Like, I had a really big adventure.
Did you?
A week ago or so. And I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to talk about it on the show. And then I was like, oh, I can't because we're.
But you can.
I can, but it will feel weird.
All right. Well, let me just do my roundup real fast.
It wasn't a big adventure.
I used some Roundup. On some weeds.
Okay, on your knotweed.
On our Japanese knotweed, which, if you don't know what Japanese knotweed is, it's described in an article in Maclean's magazine.
Okay.
Is it makes grown men weep. Not women, apparently, because women they're off busting ghosts.
Yeah.
Because busting makes them feel good.
Yeah.
About
themselves.
Absolutely. And why shouldn't it? And so, yeah, it's this thing that spreads like crazy and it's just invasive and basically the government should be paying us to get rid of it, but we have to pay some people to come and, you know, we're like, well, is there any way we can just take it out of the ground? No, it'll explode and then there'll be more. It's like, okay, well, can we do that? No, that's the worst thing, absolutely everything you could do.
Yeah.
You know, freeze because
it has extensive roots, right? Extensive
community.
Root system.
Yeah,
it's a grassroots movement.
Yeah, it's part of the Elks Club.
Sure.
It really does a lot of charity
work.
But it's still horrible.
But it has the sneakiest name, right?
Knotweed?
Yeah. You're like, well, we should take this out as a weed. And you're like, wait, is it? It says it's not a weed.
But, oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, they had to inject it. So I'm watching this bush in the backyard slowly die. Feeling bad because it's nature.
Why? Just
killing nature.
Eh.
You're watching something slowly die.
Nature.
It's not its fault.
Stuff dies in nature all the time. Why are you worried about it?
But it also becomes then crazy hornet town. Not hornets.
Right now?
Wasp. No.
Because it's dying?
No. When it's just naturally.
You're getting mourning wasps. They come in, they mourn over dying.
Sure. Yeah.
Nature.
Language is fun. But it's just full of everything that stings. Last
what
year.
What do you mean language is fun?
It all morning. Came and, all right. You know, morning, using morning. And then it's also morning with a U. You're having fun. Yeah, I'm not gonna stomp all over. I'm not gonna yuck
that.
Your yum grammatically.
Sure.
So yeah, it was like just create everything that stings goes into this thing and lives there, and you walk by it and it just goes bzzz, and it's like we're gonna kill you. And meanwhile, it's killing everything around. So we have poisoned it. It's slowly dying. And we wish it all the best. That Roundup bush in the backyard. Okay, so what was Dave's adventure?
No, I don't want to talk about that.
I know
that
you
now.
Can't possibly. You can't possibly.
It's already done. It's
follow
over.
Up. I'm killing a weed. I know you can't top story.
I can't get in front
and
of that.
And this is just the first like 3 minutes of the show.
It's over. We might as well just stop it
no
now.
Way. Yeah.
This
oh,
is
Ian
no
killed
way.
A weed
cannot,
this week. Yeah.
We cannot top it.
Yeah. The original title of our podcast was Weed Whackers, and we would be talking about different weeds that we would approach.
Sure.
And then you started week one talking about dandelions.
Yeah.
And then after that, we had nothing.
Yeah. Well, after what, who knows what after Dandelion, Japanese chickweed.
Sure.
That is my nemesis.
Right. Because Japanese chickweed, that's the one that does those Christian manga comics that are really. Okay,
Japanese,
folks.
Japanese okay, tea folks. Chickweed. That's right.
That's right. All right. Look, I get that 95% of the audience in no way gets what that reference is. And nor should you.
Why should you? Why would you want to get that reference?
If Dave was telling you about his big adventure,
yeah,
we wouldn't have had to done that stupid joke. But Dave apparently doesn't want to, just wants to set up,
okay,
but not pay off.
All right, Well, I just want to say one thing about. I did enjoy the break. Like, I enjoyed the fact that it was a night where I wasn't like, you know, driving down here,
right?
And, you know, it's 2 hours driving, and then doing the show,
yeah,
which is a pain in the ass. No, it's not really. I'm just joking.
I went to a pinball museum.
That's how you used your time off?
A little bit, yeah, I believe.
I feel like you've wasted time that we could have been doing the show.
Oh, it was great, though. It was like at the Vancouver Museum. They have their collection at the Vancouver Museum. Well, first of all, you can do a walkthrough of what Vancouver was like, which is always fun. They have an expo thing there, which is weird for me because some of the things that are there, I was. But then they also have this collection.
Yeah.
And it's like different collections of people's collections. So it's like weird toys or albums.
Yeah.
And then one of the collections is old pinball machines and video games.
Wow.
So you can go in there, bunch of quarters in your hands, boom.
Wow.
Have some fun. Or go to the jukeboxes and play some old-timey music. Have some fun with that.
Do they still have the room that's like a room from the 60s? Just
yes.
Like sitting there?
Yep.
It's playing. When I was there, it was playing One Ring Jane, the song by the band's got on my head, Mother Tucker's Yellow Duck.
Oh,
the
nice.
Vancouver psychedelic.
You could play that song again because the songs are controlled by you on the jukebox.
Oh, but in the setting, it was like playing through the radio or on a record player.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like part of the ambiance of the 60s room.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of odd. It's like a room from the 60s.
And they have a car set up there.
Ripped from a decade.
Now, normally when we take our break, sometimes we go to a white spot and enjoy a burger. Mm-hmm. And they have kind of a white spot thing at the museum where it's a
car. Really?
And they show how...
Do they have the tray?
The tray, yeah.
No.
And you see like, oh, that was quite a bit of food you would have in the back seat of the car.
Nice. Lots to spill.
So much
lots,
to spill.
Lots for children to send everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What a terrible
all
idea.
Over
and then
place.
The because it was the time the parents, the father, let's say, would grab the board and then beat the child. And everyone around would go, huzzah, sir, well done.
You know, I don't think it was...
This is the time.
But this was a time when cars did not have cloth seats, nor leather seats. They're basically like plastic that you could just get a hose out and spray off your children's white spot drippings.
Well, that's, I believe, how Jay Leno describes like many of the cars of the day. Mm. You have an accident... Horrible accident inside, hose it down,
that's
resell
right.
the car, because
sure.
the car is fine.
Yeah.
And
inside the car, it's just like, it's like a torture chamber. Like, it's all full of pointy objects.
And no seatbelts.
Towards you.
Yeah.
And, well, there
in
were...
the 50s?
There were seatbelts. I think by, maybe not in the 50s, but I'm pretty sure there were seatbelts. You weren't required to wear them, but they were required to have them in the
car.
Well,
in the 50s,
but
the
mostly they were just lap belts.
Right,
so you'd still smash headfirst.
The problem was that if you were, say, like a Catholic like me, you couldn't have anything that close to your groin because it might stimulate you as you drove.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, let it loose let Jesus take the wheel.
Let God decide who comes to visit.
Yeah, let God sort them out. That was the motto of the car
highway,
company. Yeah.
Highway protection.
Now,
before Ralph Nader ruined everything.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nader. So you had an adventure.
One of the things, while we're speaking of Ralph Nader, one of the things that was interesting, I was reading his book, his famous book, which was called...
See You Later, Nader.
See You Later, Nader. What, I can't remember what it was called now. By Any Means Necessary? No, that's not what it was called. That's the KRS-One album, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Whatever. Yellow Submarine.
The one where he's like doing the Malcolm X pose with the gun by the window.
I don't know that one.
You don't know? It's a famous pose. Like,
okay.
Malcolm X standing like at a window, like, you know, like the police are raiding his house. But KRS-One reproduced it.
One of my favorite things he ever did was back when he was like a Saturday Night Live type guy. He would host every so often.
KRS-One?
No, Ralph Nader.
Oh, Ralph Nader. Okay. I thought you were going to talk about Malcolm X.
Nope.
And then
I'm talking Ralph Nader.
Yeah, okay.
But Ralph Nader was part of the 50th anniversary special for Superman.
Yeah.
He did a whole thing about kryptonite and know your kryptonite.
Mm.
And he went through all the different kryptonites and like, don't be fooled. You know, the green is the only kind that kills him. Yellow gets rid of his powers forever. Red is the unpredictable stuff, but make sure they're all clearly labeled. And, you know, and all this stuff. And it was like, don't be fooled by imitation kryptonite.
Well, what's interesting in his book, besides sinking the Corvair, which was kind of a nice car. or a cool looking car.
That would have been a good title for the book, Sinking the Corvair.
Was it a Corvair? I think that's what the car was called. At that time, they had gas tanks on the car. This is the 60s. Gas tanks in cars held on by leather straps, which just seems ridiculous.
And kinky.
And that's what it was. Submission, not transmission.
That's right.
Yeah. This was my adventure. A couple of weeks ago, Lisa, my wife, my darling wife Lisa, was riding in PPG Games in what is called the Old Timers PPG Games. Prince Philip Games. We've talked about that before in the show, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Essentially what they...
I don't listen to the show.
Thank goodness. Because I'm telling you, it is not much. PPG Games are basically, what I like to describe them as they're sports day games on horseback. So there's a lot of like relay races where you're racing back and forth, putting things into like putting sticks with a flag on it into a pylon, and then you pick up another stick with a flag on it and you hand it to the rider, and they zip down and they throw it into the pylon and they come back and grab another one, and it goes like that. And there's usually four riders, and they'll do as quick as they can. So you win, fastest wins. And so we got there pretty early because this is my wife, and so she gets really worried if we're only 2 hours ahead of schedule. Worrisome. So we got there fairly early, and so we parked. We're getting ready, and someone came down, and they're like, "Oh, would you guys mind going and picking up the equipment trailer because no one can?" So we're like, "No problem." So we unhooked our horse trailer, and then Eve, my daughter, and I, we went down. We went out, and then we had to go down this hill. It's got a very winding, sneaking hill down to this stable. And we get down there, and the gate's locked. I'm like, "Well, this." Ridiculous. So then I see there's like a big sign on the barn has like a phone number. So I dial a phone number, get an answer machine. We don't check our messages on Sunday. This was a Sunday. So I thought, well, that's no good. So then I was sitting there. I was like, well, we should go back up the hill or something. And then there was a person behind me. So I got out of the truck. I'm like, I don't know. The gate's locked. And he goes, oh, it's not locked. It's just, you just have to push the thing. And so I walked over to it and I realized, oh, it just had the lock on it, but it wasn't locked. So then I was like gesturing to Eve like, oh, whoa, what an idiot. My eye on, right? So then I opened the gate and we drove in. Back up to the trailer, get out. It has a hitch lock on it. This time it was locked. It wasn't a fake out. So then we're like, oh, so we turned, had to leave, go back up the hill, go back to the riding place, which is basically, it's weird because it's like, it's a park in Surrey, in a place that once upon a time was kind of rural, no longer rural. Like all the houses, all the kind of big acreages.
Right.
Have all been subdivided and turned into like mini houses.
Right. All the country mice have become city mice.
Exactly. And, so you drive into this park and it's, there's a baseball field, like a softball field and stuff like that. And then you drive past that and then there's a riding ring and then there's a cross country course. Just kind of tucked in the back of this softball place. Just like you expect to find, right? Softball, horses, goes together. So I drive into there. And then someone's standing there, like, has the keys out, right? Like, oh, I forgot to give you the keys. So I grab the keys, turn around, go back down. Go down the sneaky hill, get there, park, undo this thing, back up to it, and then realize the ball on our trailer hitch was too big for the...
Okay.
So it was just kind of sitting on it like Stan Laurel's hat. No, Oliver Hardy's hat.
Okay.
It's kind of like, boop. So I was like, so we had to wind it back up, pull forward, pull off the hitch. And then I was going to use one that I found in the back of the Durango that I had to like hand tighten because it was just loose. So I like grabbed the net and I hand tightened. I was like, that should be pretty good, right? To pull a whole trailer, just hand tighten it. But then Eve found one inside the trailer. She's like, well, I'll use this one. So I put that on, lowered it down, got it all done up, put the chains on it, plugged it in, started to go, oh, there's blocks. So I ran out, grabbed the blocks, got those out of the way, the tires, threw them in the back of the Durango. We started driving out. We drive around, start going up the hill. And like I say, it's a really steep hill, and we're just kind of sneaking along. And they have speed bumps on it. I don't know why. So we hit the speed bump, and then there's just like this big boom, 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 boom. I mean, it's like, whoa, stop.
Wow.
Get out. It turns out I hadn't quite attached it properly.
Uh-huh.
So it bounced off the trailer, bounced off the hitch, and then landed on the ground. And then I dragged it for a while.
Right.
And then it was just like the chains were like stretched, like taut.
So are you saying this didn't go off without a hitch?
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Was that your punchline you were going to head towards?
Yeah, I was going to.
All right. Continue, though.
No, it was no punchline. So then I, so of course, this is a road, right? We're in the middle of this road on this hill, on this sneaky hill. Luckily, it was Sunday morning, so it wasn't totally, and there was actually a coal train going by at this time. It had been going by the whole time we were doing this. That's, it was a super long train. So I was like, I hope it doesn't stop or finish, because then there's going to be a lot of cars coming up the hill. So then, even I ran out, we're looking at it. I'm like, oh my God. So then I started winding up, you know, winding it up to try and, so I'm like, okay, you've got into the Durango and then we'll back up into it. So I wind it up. Got it as far as I could. It wasn't quite as high as the ball on the trailer, but I had hope. So then she backs up and then the whole trailer starts sliding down the hill. Oh. Like stop. Oh no, oh no. So luckily I'd brought those blocks. So I grabbed those out of the back of the Durango, put them behind the tires.
Yeah.
Then said, okay, try it again. She started again. It slid a little bit, but then it caught. And then she was able to back underneath it. And then I was like, okay, back. And then she backed a little too far. So then I was like, okay, oh, darn it. So, and then she was able to, like, when she backed into the hitch, because of the ball has the roundness about it, it was able to kind of go underneath it a little bit and lift it up and then plop down. And then, but she went too far. So then I said, oh, pull forward. Then she pulled too far forward and pulled out of it. So I had to wind it back up again. And then she pulled in. We got it perfect. Gonna wind it up. I got it all. And then I realized, oh, I had this weird thing where you had to push it all the way down and it kind of locked in place, which I didn't notice when we were doing it at the stable, I should say. So anyway, so after that, it was fine. We didn't tell anyone that happened.
Oh.
That we just pulled in like, hey, everything's great.
So if they're listening to this podcast now, they know.
I'm fucked.
How did Lisa do at the event?
She did really well. Like, she did really well. And yeah. It's one of those things where you're on a team of four people.
Mm-hmm.
And so two of them, Lisa and another lady, were super speedy, like zoom, zoom, back and forth. Then the next two teammates are just kind of like dum, 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 dum. You know, the sort of people that need tuba music to play while they're doing stuff. Dum, dum. So I can just imagine, like, just how, you know, you feel like you just sit back and forth doing this stuff so flawlessly and stuff like that. You hand it off to this person, then it's just dum, 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 dum. And every other team is just like zip, 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 zip. Oh, last again. So, I mean, when it's something like that, and I'm kind of the same way. When I'm pretty competitive. Like, I do like to win. I get kind of choked if I don't win. But it's me. I'm mad at myself for how I'm playing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get mad at other teammates for what they're doing. Like, it's on me. Like, and I get mad if I'm, like, playing badly. If we're losing and I'm playing well, I'm just like, whatever. Not my fault. I'm doing well. But not that I blame the other person, but you know what I mean, right? Like, I just can't.
I always found, like, when we did relay races, I disliked that because it was like, oh, wow, that's just... Yeah, it's just no fun because, you know, it's just too much pressure and you might be letting someone else down. And, you know, much like I'm letting you down when I'm looking at you, looking at the recording thing and seeing whether it was going to work or not. No, I just, it's like, I don't mind. Like, I'm last because I'm just last. That's fine. But if I make everyone last, ugh, I got three people pissed off at me and I didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, this stinks.
You know,
handing that stick was always weird.
But I think, I mean, there are people that you can play with who are terrible people to play on a team with or play in that kind of situation with because they're jerks. But I think in most cases, teams are okay with everyone doing their best,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I think it's if you kind of slough it off and kind of give, not you personally, but if someone gives, you know, obviously they're only giving 50% of the effort or whatever, that's irksome, right? That's mm-hmm. bothersome. But I don't think most people, I mean, speaking of someone who, like, a grade 8 soccer, playing soccer in high school, had an own goal. I scored on my own teammates, or own team on the internet. But, you know, professional soccer players do that. So it's not like it's unusual for that to happen. It's just something that happens.
It's just unusual to get a goal.
That's soccer, exactly.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Just like, they were just happy to see any action on the thing. Here's what I'm wondering, like, with relay races, right? Because I never understood why it had to be a stick. So you're running and you get a stick in the guy's hand. It's like, mm-hmm. well, what you're really saying is, I just arrived where you are.
Yeah.
Now off you go. Mm-hmm. Why does a stick have to be involved?
I think it's like an imitation of a time when the stick was actually a message of some sort.
Yeah, I understand how old time, but we don't all oil ourselves up and wrestle Greek style with no
speak
pants.
For yourself.
Fair enough. But here's what I think would make it more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of strategy and a little more risk is have a stick or something.
No,
along.
A skunk.
All right, I skunk, see where you're going. Sure, that's right.
Carry a skunk.
Yep, that's right. That's always your addition to every sport. It's like, why can't it be a skunk?
Exactly.
But have something. It could even be a ball. I don't care what it is. It's something. So you're running, mm-hmm. and then it's your. You see the guy that you're or woman. Woman can run too. Thank you.
Because they're being chased by ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busting makes them feel good. So they're waiting for this stick. To come, and then you're running with your stick. Now, I want you to have the option of you can run up and hand the person that stick.
Okay.
That's lovely. But let me give you a second option.
You're not going to say throw it.
Yes, because then it's like, how far away do you throw the stick from? Yeah. Like, do you throw them way back? Well, the odds are you're not going to come close. But if you throw it closer, well, there's a better chance. But then that's your decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like what's...
But if you did that, you're creating a different race.
Of course, I'm making up a better race. Interesting race.
In your mind.
In my mind. You know, no one goes, hey, what's your favorite race? Relay. Nope. No one. No one. No one.
Well,
who's your favorite relay racer? None. That's who it is.
You're right.
But if you're but this now combines kind of football.
But pretty soon we will. Pretty soon we'll all be excited about relay race.
Sure, maybe.
And the 100-yard dash. Absolutely. And all that sort of
thing. But like if you had something like a football or whatever and you're running and you got, and then you got to toss the football and the person's got to catch it, but you got to make the decision of at what point you throw. And you can throw it from way crazy far away if you've got the ability, you know, but it's your call.
You can call it Australian rules relay.
Sure.
Because if you just put Australian rules in front of something, then it's just a free for all. No one understands what's going on.
Ball in a pouch, and then you have to hop the way around.
I watched an entire game of Australian rules football, and I've got to say right now, I still don't understand any of the rules for that sport.
Oh, you shouldn't.
Because you can tackle someone.
You're not drunk.
Like if you're,
it's the only way it makes sense. Once you're drunk, you go.
If you were tackled, like in say American or Canadian football, you're out. You're not out, but you're. Play is dead, and then you start a game. Not in Australian rules football. Someone gets tackled, and you're watching. You're like, "Oh, that's that." No, no, they'll get up and start running again with the ball. And you're like, well, "How do you stop them with a gun? Like, what is the rule to make them not score?" And then they can throw it in, they can carry it in, they can kick it in. It's unlimited. There's no rules. It's just. But you know what? I've got to say, I don't like it because I don't understand what I was watching, and it didn't make. I was couldn't have any emotional involvement. And it just seemed like there was nothing that anyone couldn't do.
Yeah.
If someone decided to hang glide in carrying a ball and landed in the end zone or whatever they call it, then they probably would have got a point.
You got to picture being in an Australian bar, having a couple of, you know, Victorias.
See, when you say that, all I think of is like a cattle station and a really dry place and a bunch of guys wearing hats with corks dangling from them.
They appreciate the stereotype. Bring that up to them. See how well it goes.
Sure, they do.
We've got Australian listeners. How's that flying right now?
That's what I picture.
Our Australian listeners. Mm. You like us describing you like that?
They love
it. Now, you got to realize Dave and I are wearing beaver pelts now.
Exactly. Recording this in an igloo.
That's right.
That we made ourselves.
And, you know, all our microphones are at the end of hockey sticks, and it's kind of that way. Oh, by the way, happy Canada Day. We missed that.
Yeah, I see. We're missing
anything.
Happy
July 4th to you, because you're also American.
Thank you. Thank
so you. Happy double dipping on the old holidays.
Happy Treason Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we enjoy a good treason day. We like a Guy Fawkes day as well, you know?
Yeah, sure.
We'll one person's treason is another person's pleasure.
Well, that's it. I mean, Guy Fawkes failed. Otherwise, Guy Fawkes Day would not be a day of infamy. It would be a day of celebration that he brought back the Holy Mother Church to England. But instead, he failed. And
we got V for Vendetta, the movie.
Is that coming from Guy Fawkes Day?
Yeah.
Is it related to it?
Yes.
How? In what way?
He's wearing a Guy Fawkes mask.
Besides that?
What do you mean by besides that? He's wearing a Guy Fawkes mask. He's going to blow up Parliament. How is it related?
That's right. I forgot. I haven't read it for a while.
What's the Yellow Brick Road have to do with Oz?
Well, yeah. What does it have to do with Oz?
That's a good point.
There's other
a lot
roads,
of those fuckers
there?
Can fly. Why don't you? What do you need a road for? What's your problem? Also, you really stay in your own part of town. Those munchkins don't go traveling.
No.
Of course they don't.
It's only Dorothy who.
And if you did try traveling, you're going to walk through the poppies and you're going to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in traveling that road.
Yeah.
But who built the road? Why'd they build it? They're just looking for trouble.
And such a winding.
Let me get some movies out of the way, Dave.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the movies out
more
of the way.
Disaster movies.
Yeah. Well, in a way. In a way, Dave.
Okay.
They had a marathon this weekend on AMC.
Mm-hmm.
The network where you can watch commercials for the movies you're watching
okay.
that spoil the movies you're watching.
Wow.
You know, sounds please great. Watch AMC and all these exciting scenes that are coming up in the movie you're about to see.
So did they play all the Jaws movies?
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And much like Superman, where it had four movies, like the original kind of thing had four movies.
Four movies.
All right. So like the original Superman.
Diminishing returns.
Yep. So diminishing returns. like not even diminished. Yeah, it goes and it's just like Superman. It
pretty
goes
good.
First one. Well, that's great.
Yeah,
but I'd say even Jaws is pretty close to flawless.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah,
it's
Superman. There's some flaws, but Jaws flawless.
Yeah,
and second Superman movie in retrospect, as you look back on it, not as great, but as a kid you liked it. And if
I
you watched Jaws 2, I think as a kid you would go, "Whoa, still not terrible.
You know what? I've never seen any other, I've never seen any numbered Jaws.
Yeah, it's not good, but like as in the first movie, mm-hmm. but as a movie, if you didn't have Jaws and compared it to Jaws and just took it as its own thing.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, then we get to number three. And much like
which
Superman.
Which was 3D, right?
Oh, well, was it or was it?
I don't know.
Here's what I'm it asking. Was like. We're watching it and we're like, why does the picture look so shit?
Because
it looks like there's static on the screen. It's like, what's this? And it's like, oh, it was shot in 3D. Oh, right. So what happens is there's these jarring moments where all of a sudden it is 3D.
Yeah.
And then you see this completely like weird cardboard shark coming at you that's wrong. Like it didn't look like a part of the movie at all. Like, it's just in front of the movie. It's just there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spoil some movies here. When it blows up, all the little shark bits go flying around, and then the jaws kind of, like, just show... They just come and they meet, and they're supposed to be there, and it just looks like... It's just so... It's so surreal. It's so surreal. And then it ends with two dolphins, like, jumping around, and you think, like, maybe one of the dolphins... I don't want to... Ah, fuck, I'm spoiling it. Well, you think one of the dolphins might be dead, but no, the dolphins
It's okay
fine.
To spoil a film from 100 years ago.
And then they jump up, and then it's the fake dolphins again for that, and they start spinning and this weird dance, this 3D dance. It's just so surreal and weird, and oh, it's just not, it just... Boom.
Michael Caine's in that film, right?
No.
Oh, he's in two.
Wait for it. Oh. So, anyway,
he's not in two?
He's not in two, he's not in three.
Oh, because the second one is like...
It's Roy
again. Scheider's family is now being threatened by... They're getting letters from the shark.
That's... The plot of four.
The shark is calling from inside the house.
That is basically the plot of four.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, all right, three is just a standard, crappy, basic, it's very much like a disaster movie with that amount
of
people.
In that it's a disaster.
And then weird 3D that you've really got to see the 3D to believe it. You got to see it. It's just crazy. Okay, now we get to four.
Okay.
And much like the fourth Superman movie, oh, fuck me. And you go like, but you got a good actor in there, Michael Caine.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, you had Gene Hackman in Superman 4 as well, buddy. He was there.
Is he in Superman 4?
You bet he is.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. You don't need to see it.
No, I don't have to see anything.
Here's the concept.
I'm not required.
Okay, here's the concept behind this film.
Okay.
So, Roy...
You're going to spoil this movie.
Yeah. I'm going to spoil... Yeah, if you don't want to hear this, go 10 minutes ahead in the podcast.
Yeah.
If you don't want Jaws 4 spoiled.
Yeah.
So, okay, it starts off with...
if you don't want your day spoiled, go an hour and a half ahead.
There you go.
Yeah.
So here's basically how it goes. So we're in Amityville still.
Okay.
Okay? It's present day as far as that goes.
I think it's just Amity.
Amity, sorry about that.
Yeah.
It's Amity. You're absolutely correct. So the mum's still there, you know? Roy, what was his name in the movies? Do you remember? What his character name was?
I do not remember.
Okay,
Roy Sheriff.
Roy had a heart attack, died. He's not in the movie. His son's there. His son's working on a boat and doing some, you know, whatever. He's doing basically what his dad did.
Yeah.
He's
is it the actual son from the first film?
The character is, the actor I'm sure isn't. Okay. And there's another son too, as far as I'm seeing. Okay,
okay.
So there's two sons. But we see the other son later. The other son is more of a Richard Dreyfuss type. Now that I'm fucking thinking about it, it seems like Richard Dreyfuss might have had sex with the mum.
Oh.
Because that kid... That actually makes some sense now I'm thinking about it, which actually does happen in the book. Okay, let's forget about that, though. So the blonde son, the good son, the clean-cut son, he's called out to move a log. He's got to go move a log. Okay. Oh, the log's blocking things. So he goes out.
Okay.
And the whole opening of the movie, we're seeing it from Jaws' point of view underneath.
Okay.
He's hanging around the docks.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out.
She.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what this new
shark
is.
In the original story.
Is the shark a lady?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I remember reading.
What? All right, explain to me, how do you know that?
Oh, because I read a part of the book in a Reader's Digest version. Remember Reader's Digest?
What does she do like that those... shows that the shark is female?
The book describes it as a she. Like it's just written in sort of a God's eye
view. Does the
shark
go after ghosts? Because that's the only way to know if it's a difference between a male shark and a female shark.
The book says she. It just says she. Like, it doesn't have to, like, say she, here's a vagina. It just says she.
Are you sure it wasn't saying she?
It wasn't a comic book. It was just a book. So it's just telling you she. She's swimming through the water.
Okay.
She did this. She did that.
All right. Well, this is a different shark. As you know, that shark
got blowed up.
Blowed up good. Blowed up real good. Okay. So, new shark.
Yeah.
But is it or is it?
We don't know. Is it a ghost shark?
This shark just, maybe, because here's what the shark does.
Okay.
The shark attacks the boat. It gets the guy. It's Christmas, by the way.
Oh, it kills the kid?
Kills the kid, who's now an adult.
Oh.
So it kills him. Kills him bad.
Yeah.
Kills him real bad.
So did the shark put the log there as a trap?
Possibly. Seriously, possibly. Okay. Meanwhile, it's Christmas, so Christmas carols are being sung. Uh-huh. You know, well, Hark the Herald Angel. Ah, being killed by a shark. So it's that business.
Sure.
So the mom is like, Shark oh, the Herald Angel. Oh, the shark's thing. Come back. The
you,
shark.
You missed me, right? You heard it?
No, I missed it.
Shark the Herald Angel sing.
Oh, good. Okay. Silent Night. No, that's already a movie. God damn it.
Go on.
All right. Were the three wise men the guys on the boat?
Mm, maybe.
Ah.
I don't know.
Yeah. We three kings orient our travels. Following the. No, it doesn't work. So.
Following yonder shark.
Following yonder shark. There you are. So, okay. So the mom is like, no, the shark has come for us.
Yeah.
The shark has come. We've got to leave. So they leave and go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other son is working in the Bahamas as well.
Okay.
So the family's now in the Bahamas.
This is the Richard Dreyfuss son.
I think it might be. Yeah. Let's just
Where's
admit
glasses?
That's probably what he's very Richard Dreyfuss-y. Mm-hmm. Okay. So long story longer. they go there and basically they're in the Bahamas and the shark follows them. Because the shark wants revenge.
Yeah.
And the shark has been waiting all these years for revenge. Is the shark the child of that shark? Is the shark just that shark has reassembled Jason style? Okay. We don't know.
Yeah.
But all we know is the mom knows this shark is coming for her family. Well, that's what it tries to do. It tries to attack the family through the whole thing and it's showing up. Michael Caine is a flirty pilot. Who wants to bed the mother and looks like he's gonna do it, and so it all leads to them all on a boat at the end with Mario Van Peebles, and here's what happens, and I'm gonna spoil the end of the movie. So you're like, well, Mario Van Peebles is gonna get killed. There's no two ways about it.
Kay.
There's a boat with
the
mom.
Name like that.
Now here's what the mom is doing through the movie, which is annoying. Mm. Mom keeps having flashbacks to Jaws 1. But mom's having flashbacks to things she didn't see, but constantly.
I thought she was just having flashbacks to the guy scraping his nails on the chalkboard or whatever.
Was she in the room for that?
But it wasn't everyone.
Okay, well, I'm saying she doesn't have any flashbacks to things she was there for.
Okay.
So I was like, what's mom's psychic powers that she remembers all of this stuff? How does she remember the boat? She wasn't on the boat.
No.
Or was she?
Maybe she was. Yeah.
Maybe they just never filmed her because, like, who cares?
Yeah.
The mom's on the boat. Yeah, she is, but it's not interesting. But she's there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Marion Van Peebles is being Marion Van Peebles. He's talking with a very thick Jamaican accent. You know he's going to die. Like, it's just, he could be wearing a shirt going, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Well, the shark comes up, grabs Mario Van Peebles, takes him down. Everyone's, no! And he's punching the shark, and the shark's got him, and big things of blood are coming up and bubbles. And it's like, Mario Van Peebles is out.
Yeah.
He's done.
Yeah.
Michael Caine.
You think?
Wait for it. Well, yes and no. This is the thing. There is a story behind this.
Okay.
Michael Caine, I believe, or the Richard Dreyfuss son, I forget which one of them, throws a bomb into the shark's mouth.
Yeah.
And then the mom rams the boat into the shark's mouth because it's stuck in the shark's mouth, blowing the shark up. Okay. While she's flashing back to when her husband said, smile, you son of a bitch, and blows the shark up.
Yeah.
Which, of course, now we know she was apparently in the water watching that.
We didn't know that, but there, yeah.
She was, because it's the only way she can have that.
Yeah.
All right. And then, okay, so then then the shark blows up, which blows them all off the boat. Michael Caine, Richard Dreyfuss's son, it's probably not true. The mom, they're all in the water splashing around.
Yeah.
And then Mario Van Peebles shows up and goes, I'm okay. And then they swim for shore and the movie is there. I don't know how he's fine, but he's fine.
Sure.
So I look it up and I'm like, what's the deal with that? That came across weird. So here's how it goes. In the original movie, there was no bomb. There was none of that. No bomb. Mom just rams the shark into the boat. Mario Van Peebles has been
taken. Rams the boat into the shark.
Boat into the shark. Sorry about that. Yep. Yeah, she just goes out and rides the shark
rides
into
the shark
boat.
Into the boat.
So she rams
it. Very elaborate plan.
And the shark, in its death throes, rocks the boat. They all go, whoa! They fall off the boat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scarier, because you don't know if the shark's alive or dead.
Yeah.
But the shark apparently is dead. And then Mario Van Peebles does not come back. And that's the end of the movie. And the people who watched the movie hated the movie. And they hate, for good reason, but they especially hated the ending.
Mm.
When it's not clear. They didn't shoot it well so you could see that she impaled the shark. It just seems like the shark basically has a seizure for no reason and just dies of natural causes at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And you don't know why they fell in the water and you're expecting them to. And they like, you know.
Turns out the shark was diabetic, had a seizure, and passed away.
So the people who made the movie call everybody up and go, look, we got to reshoot this. And they go, we've shot the movie. It's in theaters now. It's in theaters. We can't reshoot. No, we're going to reshoot the ending of the movie for video.
Yeah.
So they call everyone.
Is that right?
Yeah. So they call everyone back. Michael Caine cannot get his Academy Award for Hannah and her sisters because he's shooting this.
Well, it's his own fault for agreeing to it.
Right.
The greedy bastard.
And so they went, yeah, we also had problems with Murray Van Peebles dying. So how about he's okay? So yeah, the ending is as it is, but it looks just like, what's this? It makes no, yeah. Very, very confusing. But the mom's character with her crazy flashbacks, it's so, I say see it though.
You do say so. You still recommend it.
If you like to joke around about a movie with your friends, it's one to see.
Yeah.
And every one of those movies, they have the shark in it a lot. Mm-hmm. And you realize how lucky they were in the first film that the shark didn't work and you didn't see that stupid shark. Because the more you see the shark, the less scary the shark is.
Yeah.
In the third movie, there's a scene where a guy gets eaten by the shark and you're inside with the guy in the shark's mouth. And you think, that's terrifying. It is not terrifying. At all.
No.
Yeah.
No, because you know it's not real. So I guess that's the real problem with the monster in a film is then when you see it, you know it's not real. So then you're like,
yeah,
I get it.
Yep.
I get it now.
And in this film, at least in Jaws, the shark was, there were rules, which I think you need in a monster movie. You set up the rules and you can expand the rules.
Yeah.
But in this one, the shark could be anywhere, anytime, and can travel from, you know, United States to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm.
And be able to follow people.
Somehow went through the Panama Canal.
It has the same flashbacks as...
maybe it was...
It went through the Panama... No, no.
Oh, wait. Where is Amity?
It's on the East Coast.
Oh, is it? Oh, well,
that's... Amity, yeah.
Okay,
Amity.
Fair enough.
So I think it's like in a sort of like Rhode Island or whatever, like, a beach resort on the East Coast.
Oh, I apologize then. Sorry about that. Yeah. Then it is realistic that the shark made it to the Bahamas to find the cabin they were staying at.
It's totally explicable now. I mean, yeah.
Also that it kept so many years later, it was looking for revenge on the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It obviously makes tons of sense.
They do a scene in Jaws 4 where it's the Richard Dreyfuss dad with his adorable daughter. And she's adorable. They just play her so adorable. And he's doing stuff and she's duplicating it like they did in the first movie. And my wife Pia saw that scene and just went, boo! That they'd be doing that. It's
again, you mean?
It's supposed to be like a lovely tribute. But I just like, no, you have not earned that. And they just, no. As mom watches and then cries every so often. She's sad about her son being eaten and this freaking supernatural shark that's hunting her family many years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. No good. No good on that. But watch it for, for giggles.
For fun.
Like it. Yeah.
But don't pay for it. Just watch it on AMC.
That's right. You'll pay the other way of all the terrible commercials. And again, you can't fast forward past the commercials because you fast forward and you go, oh, I'm back on the movie. No, I'm not.
Oh,
it's just an ad for happens? It's an ad for the, ugh. All right.
I don't really watch AMC. I don't think there's anything on there that's worth watching. I guess there's Better Call Saul is on there.
Preacher is really good.
I've watched a little bit of it, but
it's gotten really good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did you watch just the first episode?
I missed the first episode was not available on the, on demand or whatever,
okay.
Like the free, I don't know why they took it off so fast. I had like some like promotional things and then it had episode 2 to 4, but it didn't have the first episode.
They did some stuff in the last episode that was just, whoa. And then also, wow. Yeah.
It seems you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. If you want people to become interested in a show, if they've missed it and they have the on demand option, to not have the whole run of the show there because
what they do is they always do, they do the thing that they do with I think Walking Dead and other things that they do where they have the previous episode on before that episode. So if you have missed one, you can catch up and see two at the same time on the actual TV itself, which I think is smart.
But you can't see the full run of the shows.
Yeah, I mean, I've got
in a series like that where I assume there's a overarching story.
Yes, there is. Yes,
I have missed part of it.
So. Yeah, you should see the first episode.
You can kind of pick it up. Well, I would, but where do you see it?
Do you have in your cable package? Do you have a like watch your channels and stuff and like go on there and like, hey, let's look at AMC and see all the up because I've got that with my Shaw, where you click on AMC and it's all the AMC shows and you can basically watch all the episodes of the AMC.
You can't because they take them off. Like I say, I have the I have AMC On Demand.
Yeah.
But it does not have the complete run of shows available because they remove them.
There are probably other options for the first episode, because the first episode, even on things like the PlayStation Network or other things like that, usually they have the first one free to get you hooked.
Yeah.
But I do not know. But yeah, the last episode especially was, wow, very, very good. And the fights are exceptional on it too. Very well directed.
Pretty good.
Yeah, people that like, apparently, and this is mostly gentlemen from Perth that I know, don't care for it because it's not, they like the comic and it's not like the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my feelings on the comic were the comic was great for its time, but that is not where we are now. And I think I actually think the show is a little bit sacrilege. I think the show is actually a little bit better than the comic.
Whoa.
Yeah. Some people right now are getting upset.
Saying the show,
we're losing listeners right now. We're just burning listeners.
The show is better than its source material.
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty...
Much like the book Jaws, probably the movie was better than the book.
Yeah, I didn't read it all. I was at my aunt's.
Yep.
When I was a younger man and a younger child, and I was bored because I was at my aunt's.
You wore a younger man's clothes. Mm-hmm.
I did wear it. And she had a bunch of Reader's Digest books. Do you remember those, like the condensed books?
Yes. And so, I have many.
And so I don't know how they condensed them, if they just put the words closer together.
Yep, that's right.
Get rid of the commas. But I was sort of reading in that. And, you know, so I read, I don't know how far I read into it. But
well, the aspects that they took out were the affair that the mom has with the Richard Dreyfuss character. I forget what his
name
is.
That would just be yucky.
Would be yucky.
Yeah.
That's right. And then they also, there is a mafia plot. And there, someone owes someone money, and so the mob is involved as well. So
of its time,
People
indeed. People were very interested in the mafia that in those days,
right?
Because of you know what I just.
So wait a minute, I'm now thinking about it.
What?
For fuck's sake! I just realized something.
What?
All right, it's just too stupid to even think about. But I was just thinking, like, so wait, so they're dealing with both a shark and a loan shark.
Ah, there you go. That's the parallel. So that's how you write. You have your parallel just like that.
And everyone
are like, wow.
Well done,
I get it. The shark is an allegory for loan sharks.
Yeah, and it's also very gory.
Yeah, because that's what...
Here's me not knowing what a word meant when I was a kid.
Okay.
My parents bought me the Guinness Book of World Records. And at the time, Jaws was the top grossing movie of all time. So there's a picture there. And I thought that meant it had the grossest things in it of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see how you made that mistake.
Dumb kid, because there was a lot of gross stuff in the Guinness Book of World Records, guy with those fingernails.
Ugh. Sure, yeah. Yeah.
How's he wipe his butt?
He doesn't.
I know he doesn't. That's what's terrible about
it. That's the
part
of it,
When you see the guy with the fingernails, it shouldn't be, look at his fingernails. It's like, look at the guy who hasn't wiped his ass in 30 years.
That's right. He never leaves the Ganges.
Yes.
He's constantly standing in the river. Well, you know what's interesting? I was thinking about when you brought up the Guinness Book of World Records, and I was thinking, I guess that was our Google or whatever, like our BuzzFeed of the day was to read that book or to read the People's
Book of Lists.
Book of Lists or People's Almanac and stuff like that, where they had these sort of facts. You know, and some of them were obviously, if you were like 4 years older, you would have kind of scoffed at like the was like five spontaneous incidents of spontaneous combustion.
Yes. Yeah.
And stuff like that, which you would read with great interest because you were a little, you know, grade eight kid and you're like, oh, this is fascinating. People just lighting themselves on fire. Like
five
spontaneously.
Openly gay celebrities.
Was that one?
Yeah, that was one. And Elton John, but he's married. That's
but
not
he wasn't
possible.
At the time.
No, he's bisexual. But he was openly bisexual.
Yeah, but he wasn't married at the time.
I don't know.
Like, it was a very short marriage. It was in the 80s. So we wouldn't have, and it was like late 80s.
But I remember going, how could Elton John possibly be? Yeah.
Yeah. Who else was on the list?
I don't remember.
That was the shocking one.
The fifth one. You won't believe the fifth one. Elton John.
The rest of them were.
What?
It would have been more interesting if it was five not openly gay. But I guess that would be really hard, like really, you know, because. You know, like lawsuits stuff. Because like Liberace, who successfully sued a British newspaper for calling him homosexual, and he proved to the court didn't have to. He didn't have to prove anything.
That's right.
In British law, they had to prove that he was a homosexual, which is hard to do if no one's going to come forth and talk. So if you pay a lot of money out to people, I guess couldn't they just point it at his clothes? That would have been it?
Yeah.
Look how he's dressed.
Right. But of course, and this is in England, you're saying? So everyone's wearing powdered wigs. Who are they to throw stones?
Yes, horsehair wigs. That's true. But I mean, that's some kind of strange
powdered wigs and black dresses. Oh, sir.
It's true, actually. Yeah. And what's weird is they have to carry everything in a bag, like in a little, like a sack, like, you know, with a drawstring on it.
Yes.
Like they have to.
Of course
they do. That's part of the tradition.
Yeah.
So odd.
That's where they keep their marbles.
Lisa's, her niece, I'm not too sure like how nieces really work, but her cousin's, her cousin's daughter. Is that still a niece? I don't know. Anyway, she's a barrister in England. And I imagine she has to wear a powdered wig as well when she's... If she has to, I don't know, do barristers do that or do solicitors? No, she's a solicitor, not a barrister. That's a difference, right? Because a solicitor is like a lawyer, like who does, you know, wills and
right. And when you go to a door, it never says things. No barristers, but it does say no solicitors.
That's right. Cause there's a terrible prejudice against them.
Yeah.
But barristers are the people who actually go to court and do like the defense prosecution sort
do
of thing.
Do we at any point in Canada put the wigs on?
Yes.
How far up do you have to go before you wear the wigs?
I don't think you have to go very far at all. Do you?
So if I go to the courthouse, because I don't remember, like I used to go to the courthouse just to watch trials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing the wigs.
Okay.
So it maybe must have it has been like one step above that, it's wig time.
But if you go to there's a lawyer supply store right near the courthouse and they sell wigs. Yeah. Yeah.
Can anybody go?
Right.
Do you have to show that you're a lawyer?
I don't think you have to show anything. I don't think there's like a secret code to get in. Have to say a secret word.
I would think there would be, because here's what I would think, that you would then, okay, say you're a criminal,
yeah,
and you want to like silence a guy, you would go to the lawyer supply store,
yeah,
get yourself one of them robes, get a powdered wig, and now you know Lefty is walking into the thing. No one's going
to
question
but
the guy.
But you don't know the password to get all that stuff.
You got a password.
You have to say the password. I know it, but
okay, what is it?
Caveat emptor. That's the...
Seize the stuff.
No, buyer beware.
Oh, sorry about that. God. Let's seize the day.
Carpe diem. Yeah. Exactly
it's all
the
same thing.
Yeah, it's exactly
anything that's
exactly
not like... English is all just bullshit, right? Am I right?
Sure. But they sell wigs there, and amongst other fancy things, like briefcases that have hidden flasks.
Okay, yeah, what else would they have? Yeah,
I don't know.
So you got your wigs, obviously. Yeah. It can't just be wigs.
It's all wigs and black robes.
Wigs and black robes. Yeah, that can't be all. So would they sell a gavel?
They have briefcases or attaché cases.
They would not sell a gavel. You would get those supplies.
I imagine they have gavels.
What? You don't have to bring your own gavel as a judge.
They have like a...
They supply you
they
with gavels.
They also sell like a scale for justice, you know, like
right.
So you can like weigh, you know, legal matters on this scale.
They sell the little dicta thing where you tap-a-tap-a-tap-a, read that back to me. He says
what is
he'd
that
kill you
court
and
stenographer, but
stenographer,
but I don't know what the machine they because if you ever see the machine, it actually looks more like an adding machine than like a typewriter.
It is. They're just adding up stuff.
Sell numbers.
Yeah.
They just type in a code.
They're usually they've come from lunch and she's still working out the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just seeing what she should tip, and then she's got an amazing memory. And what did I just say? Just said he's guilty of murder. Oh, thanks. We forgot. Take him away, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still.
Still use those. Can't they? Must not be using those still. There must be a mechanical equivalent.
I don't know, because when watching the popular Netflix program Making of a Murderer, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there was a woman in court tap tapping away on that. And I mean, admittedly,
what
it was,
are we now? And what's big stenography like doing? Like going no, don't adapt.
I wonder if it's. I wonder if that's like the simplest way for these people who have been trained to do that. But maybe it's Bluetooth. So it all gets entered in a different way than on paper.
Yeah, you would think that you could then like hit something and then it would be in that, because then you're wasting time. You got to then take the paper.
All that stuff and translate it into
Here's
English.
Here's the only thing I could think is the reason why you would want it to be paper is because what happens in the courtroom should just stay in the courtroom. And so now there's only one record of it.
Yeah.
It's this piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
But even that seems like a bad idea, because what if you lose the piece of paper before you translate it to everything else and put it on the thing? Ugh, stupid courts.
I'm sure that's happened.
Must have. What if a guy
the court transcript
smoking? Yeah.
What if he's smoking? Yeah.
And back in the old days when everyone had a pipe and they were all piping in the courtroom and they're like, woof, that goes up like flames.
Yeah.
Crazy. Speaking of things going up in flames, this show barbecued for the very first time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So you bought a barbecue?
Bought a barbecue.
Is it a
an Australian barbecue? Speaking of Australians, hopefully we're getting our Australian.
So it's upside down?
Oh, no, Dave. We just got our Australian listeners back.
Is it a propane or is it charcoal briquettes?
Here's why we do not use a propane. It's because when my wife Pia had an apartment in New Westminster, there was a fire.
Yeah.
And said fire hit propane tanks.
Oh.
And when said fire hit propane tanks, they turned into flamethrowers.
Yeah.
We went, you know what?
We don't need.
Just avoid that.
Yeah.
So we went charcoal.
It is convenient. Because charcoal, you light charcoal and you have to kind of wait a while for the briquettes to turn to the gray ash that's pumping out the heat. But I mean, it's a nicer barbecue experience. Propane is okay, but you don't get that really nice chemically taste of.
Yeah, you want the chemicals.
Yeah.
Terrible chemicals.
You want all that. That action.
So what we did was we had the regular Kinks for charcoal. Mm-hmm.
So you bought so what kind of barbecue? You didn't buy like a cheapo Hibachi or something like that.
It's a little beyond the cheapo Hibachi. It's cheapo. It's pretty cheapo. So you see, you set me up with that. You can't go like, you didn't buy one of those Bubba-da-Buzz, did you?
Yeah.
Basically, it's not a Hibachi.
I was giving you, you could lie. I don't know.
Well, you're going to come over to my place sometime and go hey, you but fucking liar.
I'm not going
to
fink
take
you out.
Take a picture, put it on the site. But liar, liar.
I'm not going to fink you out on Sneaky Dragon that you have a Hibachi when I went there.
Okay. Well, it's not Couldn't a Hibachi. Believe it. It's beyond a Hibachi. You know, my wife wanted a fire pit.
Yeah.
We were looking actually at one that looked really nice. Then we read the review and the review was, this catches on fire. It's just like basically
isn't
melts.
That what you want?
No, you don't want it to catch on fire once and then melt and then like which is basically what the review said.
Yeah.
So we got the barbecue.
We got our the backyard Kingsford, slag heap.
Yeah, we got the Kingsford, charcoal. Put them on.
Classic, classic. You know, you remember it from your youth,
old
right?
Timey.
You
look at the this works.
Look at the bag, and you're like, "Woo, yeah."
What can go possibly not right? So
lighting
them, and then I
lighting them can't go right.
Got one of them, charcoal starters, bags. Light that up.
The zip cubes kind of thing?
No, we didn't use the zip cubes. It was just a bag that you light the edges of, and
it's
basically got a little charcoal inside it.
Mm.
Good, smooth. Everything's fine.
Looking good.
Well, that didn't work. Well, then let's try some more.
It went out and it didn't light.
Yeah, it didn't light nothing. So we're just trying to light more stuff. We got some cardboard we're lighting, and nothing's working. Another one of those bags. Nope, no dice. And so we basically went through. We just burned everything.
I have a simple thing that I do to do it. But
okay. All right. When tell me your thing.
Oh, I buy the barbecue starter, like the liquid igniter, and I just slosh it all over the place and light it.
It says don't do that.
Oh, is that right? Is that
our
that
thing? Is basically do not use lighter fluid.
Oh.
Okay. So because I got cheapy thing. So we go through all this, and then we're like, you know what? We then ran out of matches. We had a lot of matches, we thought.
Mm-hmm.
We went to that delicious restaurant, Lola's in Seattle.
That's right. You got a bunch of matches?
Boxes of matches.
Yeah.
Well, they all ended up in that barbecue that night. So it was like, I got to go get matches.
Yeah.
And then I'll try and find some self-lighting.
Get safety matches. Yeah.
The self-lighting kind. I'll try and get some self-lighting charcoal. So we did that.
Oh, self-lighting charcoal.
Yeah. And spaced them out.
Yeah.
And we did that, and that all worked out.
Oh, good. Good. That's good.
And then
what did you cook? What did you
cooked,
have?
Cooked some really nice steaks, actually.
Mm.
Quite nice. But we made the mistake of we cooked them on.
Mistake? I get it.
Do you think that there's, in cattle country, they have a beauty contest and the winner is Miss Steak?
Yes.
Do you think that's possible?
I thought that's where you're going.
Interesting. So we made the mistake of putting some foil down.
Oh.
I don't know why. My wife did that. That's fine.
Where do you put it over the briquettes?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess
why, because she was afraid like the grease dripping from
possibly.
I shouldn't say grease. The delicious juices dripping from the steaks would ignite and cause a conflagration or fire.
Right.
If you're not Latin. That would
you're dropping a lot of Latin.
It's not really that. I was Latin in origin, right?
It's all quid pro quo to me.
That's a French thing. Quid quo pro to you.
Well, ipsum facto. And so on. So,
men's wrist.
But they did cook very nice, but they didn't have the grill marks because we didn't do the thing. We also cooked some asparagus.
Nice.
We cooked, what else did we cook?
Ice cream?
Some carrots. Well, actually, we did have ice cream,
mm.
but we had those with grilled pineapple, and it was really delicious. Yeah, grilled pineapple.
Can't go there with you, but okay.
What, you don't like a grilled pineapple?
I don't like pineapple with other stuff.
You didn't like it with a little chocolate ice cream?
I wouldn't want it with ice cream. No.
Okay, those of you that aren't Dave, hear me out on this. little pineapple on the barbecue. Yeah. Yeah. Get those grill marks on it.
Sure.
Just a little bit. Don't
then you put cook on your burger. Too much. You put on your burger then.
Yeah, well, you might. And then you put it. Then you put a little chocolate ice cream. Mwah, so good. So we're gonna go back to that grill again soon. We'll see how that works out. Nice. That's my story of how I barbecued without much incident.
That was exciting.
Yep.
Our barbecue is actually it's gone now. I threw it away. So
what?
Why'd you throw it away? It was exposed to the elements for quite a while because of our deck problems.
Yep.
Our continuing deck problems.
Wait, which, is this deck
way,
talk?
By the way, we can have it sort of as an adjunct to deck
talk. Nice, adjunct deck talk.
Because we just had a monumentally expensive car bill.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Monumentally expensive. I'm not going to tell you how much it was, but let me just say it was a lot. It was more than... It was the amount where if the car place was smart, and we had it fixed at a place that sells vehicles, if they were smart, they'd say, you know what, this is going to cost you this amount of money. Have you ever thought of trading in your car and getting a new one? Because otherwise, you could save yourself a lot of money and have a nice new car. They didn't do that. They either hosed us, but I don't know what to think. Because every time I spend a lot of money fixing a car, I'm pretty much turned off the place that I did it at, and I just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, you hit the same problem that you spend a lot of money for some big thing. And this was a head gasket. This was a head gasket on the vehicle. So I'm going to believe them that was a problem. The problem we were having was that you'd be driving along, minding your own business, singing a song, driving along, singing a song. And then suddenly the heat would like go from, you know, a gentle medium to raging hot. It would just like suddenly zip right to maximum heat. So the engine was obviously overheating. And so then you'd pull over and then you'd let it cool down or whatever. And then you'd drive again and it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen for days. And then suddenly it would happen again. And we kept taking it into the place we got our car fixed at. And we're like, explained to them the problem. And they like fixed everything else but this problem. They'd be like, oh, your problem with your bushings and this and that on the idler arm. And, you know, so you're like, okay, well, we better take care of that.
You got yourself some internal combustion in this engine.
So then, you know, so we're getting this other stuff fixed, but it wasn't taking care of this problem. So finally, the classic indicator, which is oil in your transmission fluid. Did I say transmission? Sorry, oil in your radiator.
Urine.
Oil in your urine, yes. That's blood in your urine, a classic example of when you've been punched in the gut by the dealership's bill. No, it was in the radiator fluid, in the coolant. And so that's a classic thing. It's a leak in the head gasket's gone. And I know it's an expensive fix. And I know that I couldn't do it myself.
Yeah.
There's lots of things I can do fixing a car, but I cannot do that. Like I just neither have the time nor the ability.
You can change the radio station.
I can change the radio station.
Honk the horn.
I've also taken out the carpet, like the mats. I've taken mats out and vacuumed them.
You can yell at your kids.
I can do that stuff. No, I've actually done a lot of stuff
fixing cars. Sure. Yeah, I'm just playing fun.
This one is beyond me. And it was just like one of the things where like, okay, we're going to, you know, we took apart this and then that broke. So we got to replace this part. You know, so you need a new crankshaft chain. Okay. And we noticed that your fuel injectors were so we had to do that. And it just on and on, all these things that were done. Yeah. And you're just kind of like, and a lot of them were just things like, well, if we don't fix it, then it's just no point continuing. So you're like, okay, well, better fix it. So it just went on and on. So anyway, the long and the short of it is, I don't think I'm going to get the deck done this year. Because that was our plan. We had a big, you know, we'd saved up money towards getting the deck done. And then all that money just went into a car. So what's, you know, because it's been so long, I mean, every time it seems that we're like, you know, in front of the eight ball rather than behind it, something happens, you know, I lose my job last year. So that put off doing the deck and et cetera, et cetera. So once again, I'll be living under a tarp, or working under a tarp, the victim of this has been the barbecue, which is sitting outside in the elements. And so the rain just killed and it was a propane one. So it had like that little, I don't think it's called the Venturi or whatever, where it mixes the air and the propane together to make the flames come up. And I just, it was all rusted out and I just, the heck with it. I just threw it all out. Cause I thought when I get the deck done, I'll want to get a new barbecue and then, I won't want this old piece of junk. So I'll just throw it away. But now I don't have a piece of junk and I don't have a deck. So I don't know what's kind of stinks.
Well, we're gonna set up a thing at Sneaky Dragon. I'm gonna tell you about my problems too in a second, because misery enjoys company.
Oh,
We got a thing. You know, you guys may have heard of Cash for Gold, where you will take your gold and you will give it.
Yeah.
You know, send it in.
It's a weird thing.
People will give you cash for gold.
People will actually buy gold from you.
Right.
For money.
Again, I used to talk about this on stage, saying, you know, they had ads for Cash for Gold. Yeah, we know. Pirates know that, and they live in the middle of the sea. You know, it's like you don't need to inform us.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do with Sneaky Dragon, we're going to do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it is, it's called Thanks for Gold.
Oh.
Now, here's what we're going to do.
All right.
We put, Dave has his address up on our site.
Yes.
What you do, and listen, you're saying, well, what if I only have a little amount of gold? It's fine. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. No amount is too small. Yeah. No amount is too large. What you do is you take that gold,
sure. Put
it in an envelope.
Okay.
Pat it, you know, appropriately.
Yeah. Market gold.
Market gold. No, actually, probably postal workers might steal.
Market the gold experience. They'll think it's a print CD.
And then send it to us. Mm-hmm. And what we guarantee we will do, this is our guarantee to you,
is
we will say thanks.
Oh.
For gold.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're right. You might be going, no, it's too much gold. You can't possibly thank us for that. No, we will thank you for large amounts of gold.
Will we thank them by name?
That's up to you. Yeah. We will give you any thanks that you want. If you want thanks in French, we will thank you in French.
We'll say merci.
We'll say, exactly.
Yeah.
See, Dave just proved he can do it.
Yeah.
So this is our thanks.
In German?
Yeah. Danke. This is our thanks for gold program. Mm-hmm. So just look around the house. You might have too much, like, extra gold.
Yeah.
Maybe some jewelry. You're like, oh, but it's got a diamond in it. Don't worry about it. That's our problem.
Yeah.
You send it to us with a diamond in it. Sure. We'll take care of that fucking diamond. We'll get rid of it.
Yeah.
Don't worry. That's not your issue. You just send us any gold you have.
Yeah.
And we will give you thanks for gold.
Okay.
Okay. That's our new thing. We're the only podcast that does this. If any other podcasts tell you they're doing it, that they're just copying us, do not be fooled by imitators. Sneaky Dragon, thanks for gold.
The original.
The original thanks for gold.
Yeah.
And
that's
why you can trust us. There is no way you can lose on this.
Not
because we will give you thanks
for
your gold.
I have another idea.
Yeah.
Is
it Spanx for gold? Because I'm not into that.
It's salutations for silver. So if you send us silver,
We're spreading our net too far.
We've gone too. I've.
Okay, here's what I'm going to suggest.
I'm sorry, everyone.
No, it's fine.
I can edit that out.
Let's make that. Like, we've got a couple of podcasts that are still available online. Uh-huh. We got Completely Beatles and Totally Tintin.
Sure.
You know what? You can make that to Totally Tintin.
And I've heard both those shows are great.
Right.
I've never listened to them. But I've heard they're great.
So we'll make the Tintin one. You can do the silver stuff there.
Yeah.
So that's salutations for silver.
Sure.
So like someone sends you silver, you'll go, hi.
Yeah.
Great. Also, you might be asking, what if we see you live at a show? Like you come to one of our live shows.
Sure.
Could you bring the gold there and save money on postage? Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say no.
No, of course. No, we're fine with that.
You've totally, I'm just dumbfounded now.
I know. We shouldn't be offering this. Yeah.
Yeah. The liberality that I'm hearing here is just great. You're surprising me by talking about this.
So right.
I'm amazed.
And look, I don't like taking cash, but if you bring us cash, we will. Okay, look, if you bring us cash in the next 6 months, we will take it.
Yeah.
All right. The gold thing is just constant, but you know what?
It's a limited time.
Limited time offer. Send us cash, and we will as well say thank you.
Will the thanks be as, you know, as full as the one as they would get for gold?
No,
for
cash. Of course not.
No.
No, it's harder. It's harder to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
We want the gold. So anyway, thanks for gold.
Because gold is so much easier to deal with. Like everywhere you go,
they accept gold. My wife and I were looking at doing the San Diego. We were going to go to San Diego Comic Con, and you can tell by me saying that we're not. And we were looking at plane tickets yesterday.
Yeah.
And we both came to no. It just became like the amount that we could the amount that it was worth just wasn't worth that.
Oh, okay.
Because basically it was coming up.
I thought you were a guest.
In a way.
Oh,
but we have to supply our own flights. And flights alone we're gonna be getting up with exchange almost to $3,000 for the two of us.
What?
Yeah, it was getting crazy.
What? You could walk there for that price.
And it was a lot of this business too. Mm-hmm. It was just like, well, let's just take a look at one of these. Oh, this one looks like almost reasonably priced. You leave at 5:30 in the morning. All right. And when do I get to San Diego? At 11 p.m. at night.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Was it a bus?
A lot of that.
I think you were looking at a bus, not at a plane.
You're looking at a bust. You know, the cops come in and go, yeah, there's a lot of that business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we just realized no dice. And then also we, when you're saying like cars are a big expense, we finally found a mechanic who we don't feel is gouging us.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's the three big expense things we have. One, taxes, because, you know, taxes are taxes and we live in Texas.
Sure.
Yeah. Two, car. Car randomly goes, I want all your money.
I've noticed that. Yeah.
Take it. And three, cats.
Oh,
and
cats are also. Cats.
Yeah, that's right. So I have a cat who is having some heart murmur and some kidney issues. And so she's in the vet today.
Okay.
And so, you know, she was going through some tests and she has to stay overnight. She's getting an ultrasound tomorrow. And yeah, it's, you know, and so that costs you some dough too.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, all in all, we're just going to do work at home this San Diego. And like next year, I'll have a book out from Scholastic. We'll have other things, hopefully, you know, some TV stuff will have kicked in by then as well. And we just decided we're just going to take this week off and it's a little bit of a relief, but also a little bit of a drag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's fun seeing people and seeing friends and being part of that. But yeah. Yeah. So we decided that. But then almost immediately got an email. Well, she did. And then she got me into it, which is nice, where we're going to go to an Edmonton convention in September. And I've always wanted to go to Edmonton.
You've never been to Edmonton?
I've never been to Edmonton.
You know what? I don't know if it's there anymore, but there used to be
Edmonton is still there.
Big poster. Edmonton still exists. Or a big billboard of Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, is that right?
Overlooking, yeah, yeah. I went there once.
When you were a salesman?
Yeah, when I was selling encyclopedias in Alberta. That was, we didn't sell in Edmonton, but we drove through it a couple times on our way to various places. That's where I had terrible food poisoning after eating McDonald's. And it made me distrust McDonald's away because when I vomited pure white. I thought, what did they eat?
Oh my gosh.
That's weird. But I was so sick and I was laying on this cot. And of course, I was with like six other guys as we were making our way, ripping off people through Alberta. I mean, giving them educational opportunities all through Alberta. And I was laying on this cot and they were watching porno. And I was, because I was sick, I wasn't watching it because I didn't want to see that. I didn't need more.
I'm sorry. I've got a horrible story in my head. I'm just thinking. Yeah. So anyway, I ate McDonald's and I just went back to the hotel room with the guys. They were watching porno. I went to sleep. I woke up sick to my stomach and I just vomited white for a while. I don't know what the hell happened, but I just know I don't like McDonald's.
But what I noticed while I was laying there feeling not
sorry,
so good.
By the way, if anyone's driving in their car with their daughter and listening to the podcast that we got dirty again. Sorry about that.
It is explicitly rated.
It is explicitly rated.
And we
rated.
Have to be explicit, otherwise we lose a rating.
Sure. Okay. But please continue with your but anyhow, McDonald's
bashing. So I'm not bashing McDonald's, you know. But
have breakfast all day soon.
I got sick and then I was laying on it, but they were watching some porn or some porn movie. And I was suddenly struck by how strangely disconnected the music was from what I was hearing. You know, like there's like, you know, all that kind of, going on. But then the music was like, da, 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 da. Dude, kind of this weird sort of jazzy kind of upbeat sort of thing. You know, like, you're just like,
you're a music fan.
What? Like, where did this music, like who just randomly applied? You know, it's fun, weird as I'm talking about porn after I got in trouble for talking about it last time. Anyway, I was actually watching an action film with Arnold. That's what they were watching, an action film with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sure.
Six guys watched. I think there was six of us. I think there was like five of us.
In one room?
Yeah,
that reminds me of old Comic-Con experiences with like people all jammed in one room. Okay, but here's the nice thing about Edmonton and them. They asked like Pia to be a guest, and then she went, you know, I've got a husband and blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, yeah, we'll have him be a guest too.
That's
like,
nice.
Hooray! Because I was like, I'd fly myself up for the
You just want to go to the mall? Is that what you want to go to?
Oh, love the mall. No, I would like to see the mall just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
No, here's why I want to go. It's because I write for the Irrelevant Show, and they do the Irrelevant Show in Edmonton.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's nice. First of all, I get to see all those folks who I got to meet a lot of the cast that I had never met. I
hope they're not on the road.
Oh, no. No, sure, it'll be fine. I got to meet them in Kelowna this year, so that was nice.
Yeah.
So I like that. But also, because I'm a comedy fan, they shot so much SCTV up there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of a little bit of comedy mecca in Canada. And so I kind of like it for there. And also, they got a really nice art scene, nice comedy scene there.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll be able to do a show or two when I'm up there. And also, late September seems the best time to go to Edmonton, which gets incredibly cold in the winter and crazy hot in the summer.
Yeah.
So this all feels like it works out. So yeah, looking
forward. Does it get really hot in summer? I was there in the winter, so.
And it's a fan expo show, so there's always like some celebrities from different shows, and that's always kind of neat because in the smaller towns, not that Edmonton's a small town, it's a little bit of a small town. You usually end up, which I always find fun, is you're usually eating in the hotel, and like there's a bunch of people. You're like, there's, and that's, I'm like at a table right next to Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
Neat. He's having coffee like a person. Neat.
He is a person.
He is a person.
Yeah.
And a hell of a person. How dare you?
How time you recognize that? Here's a question. This is like out of left field, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm going to go here. But,
Speaking of questions.
Sure. Sorry.
We should mention.
Oh, yeah. If you want to do that.
Our question episode is coming up in 10 episodes from now.
Mm-hmm.
Gives us just enough time to give us a question. Send it to sneakydragon.com on our message boards, or sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That's our email. Or @sneaky_dragon on Twitter. Or go to Tumblr. You can also ask us a question there. You can ask us any question, or you can give us an answer. And we will supply the question. We'll also do that. But it can be anything about the show, about us personally, or just something you know, you want to talk about. And we will discuss it on the 250th episode. And if we draw your name out of a hat, we will give you prizes and stuff at the end. You know, we'll draw one name out of a hat and give some prizes and stuff.
Yes.
And we'll probably give you some stuff anyway.
Well, we'll kind of do what we did last time, which is we get everyone who contributed questions got a gift package.
Sure.
That we sent out in the mail.
Right. Not gold.
We do not return the gold.
No. By the way, if you want the bonus gift package, send us some gold.
Yeah. And then we had a grand prize. And the grand prize most likely consists of a t-shirt plus some other stuff. We'll figure it out.
And parts of Dave's car that were not salvageable. Don't anymore.
It wasn't my car that was the problem.
So also, a rusted barbecue. It's our big prize
that is gone.
This year.
Yeah. Okay. That was returned to the metal recycling.
You have a question.
Well, it's not really a question. More of a
Are you entered in the contest now?
What's that, sorry?
Are you entered in the contest because you're asking
this,
a question?
No, this is not a question.
Okay.
It's more of a, I don't know what it is. Because today I was folding some laundry, and I was thinking about underwear. Because I was given some underwear.
Uh-huh.
And this is weird, but okay. Yeah. Okay, in terms of size, I'm like my pant size. I'm a perfect square. I'm 34.
Yeah.
34.
Everyone says you're a perfect square.
If you know me, you know that's true.
Okay.
My shirts, large, medium.
Okay.
All right. Either way. But
When you get to your butt.
Underwear.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I was given some underwear at Christmas time, and I was given medium size underwear. I can lift, pull that up to my nipples.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What?
Like, it's so huge.
Oh, is that right?
It's so big.
Oh,
I can't believe it. Like,
what brand is this?
It's like Denver Hanes or whatever. Like, just I think that's a respectable brand.
Okay.
I don't really know much about
them.
I think they're based in Denver.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's what I've heard anyway.
Sure.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't know much about
them. Oh, that is surprising. That is surprising.
It's that big, right?
Yeah, that's too
surprising. It seems odd. And so when I was buying some new underwear the other day.
Right.
And so I thought, well, I'm not going to make that mistake and buy medium. I'm going to buy small. So I bought small and they fit perfectly. But why would small?
Now, I want
But you would you describe me as a small person?
No. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to now buy extra small. See if those fit.
I didn't see extra small.
See if your body is just adjusting the underwear.
The underwear system.
Because you might be a shapeshifter.
I might be a TARDIS.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's really odd. Like, why? Why is that? Like, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm a pretty big person. I'm not like big, but you know, I'm tall. I'm 6'2". I'm broad shouldered. I'm not like a little guy.
Yeah.
And why is small like the go to? And medium feels like I'm wearing
Here's
a
what
tent.
I think you should do. Next time you're at the gym, find a
I don't go to the gym. I canceled my gym membership, so
okay.
I can't
go
there anymore.
In the future, you will go back to a gym someday.
Yeah.
And
I do. I miss the guys. Just saying that right now. Miss the guys. Those days of us hanging around naked together.
Yep.
Talking about politics.
This is exactly.
Swearing for no reason.
Oh boy. Sorry. That reminded me of something. But anyway,
okay.
Find a guy who's the same size as you because they'll be a fella.
Okay.
So just go and go, hey, pal, what size underpants you wear? And he'll tell you and you'll go, oh, this all makes some sense.
Sure.
And if not, you know, maybe just crack that mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that's a good idea? Ask people in a.
Okay,
locker room.
Do you mind
go into a locker room?
Let me ask you this.
A room full of strangers.
No, we actually
many of whom are naked and hearsay.
This might not be the safest.
Okay.
That might not be the safest way to do it.
Yeah,
here's actually a better way.
Okay.
All right. Do you mind saying what your waist size is?
I said that, 34.
You're a 34 waist.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
6'2".
Okay. So 34 waist, Yeah. He's 6'2".
How much do I weigh? 203.
Fair enough. Oh, that's my lucky number. Is that really your lucky number?
That's a strange lucky number, 203.
We can get into that another time. It is my lucky number. Okay. So if you're 6'2",
yeah,
and approximately 34.
Not approximately. I am 34.
Okay.
Not age, you're talking about...
He's a perfect square.
I'm 34 inseam.
If you are close to that, or say you have a relative in your family who you do not mind discussing this thing with, and ask them what size underpants they wear.
Yeah.
Is this right? Because that does not seem right to me.
It seems odd, doesn't it?
Wearing a small.
Yeah. And that they're way more comfortable than these weird mediums that, like, I feel like if you're pulling up your underwear, it shouldn't go above your waistline of your pants.
Nope.
Because that's just dumb.
Unless you're doing it for Mickey Mouse comedy purposes. And going, hey, everybody, look at me!
Possibly.
Yeah, it's anything well, can it's, happen day.
Let's just say it's given some flexibility to my life. Having underwear like that, that I can wear. I can tuck in down below my pants line.
Right.
Or, alternately, if I'm wearing like a midriff shirt and I'm feeling a little shy, I can pull my underwear up and cover
Here's the other thing we might do. All right, now, obviously, we've got our Thanks for Gold program.
Yes.
So what we are also
hugely successful.
Right. What we're also going to ask you to do is send underwear to Dave. Not used, fresh.
Please not
fresh
used.
New underwear.
I don't want
and
underwear.
And what Dave will do,
some.
Send the smaller, smaller the better.
Yeah.
Dave will try the underwear on during the show and see if it fits.
Right.
If you can send him underwear that's too small for Dave, he will give you a prize.
Does it have to be adult underwear? Because the kids send kids underwear, and it'd be sunk.
How do you know, Mr. One Size Fits All?
I didn't say that. I just said I'm buying.
Have you tried on children's underwear?
No.
Well,
I mean, I have
when
I was a child.
There you go. And they fit then, right?
They had motorcycles on them. And boy, did I get laughed at high school. That's a mistake to wear your colorful underwear.
Yeah.
To gym
class.
Well,
when you're putting them on, don't go vroom, vroom, vroom. I'm a motorcycle guy. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I shouldn't do that.
No.
That seems unfair that I can't.
It feels like years later you go back on a motorcycle and kill everybody. I'm like, why do you do that?
Teach you.
Long story.
Yeah.
Long story.
Nah.
Okay. That's probably bringing us around. Once we start talking about you sending underpants to Dave, we're probably at the end.
We've reached the end of our tether.
I've given you all of our information.
Yes.
Of how to send us things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give you the one more time, which is sneakydragon.com is our main website. Go to there.
I've heard of it.
And the other nice thing on there is Dave's title cards are there. And you can look at every episode Dave puts. So this week will probably be Dave in his underpants. That'll be probably what he'll draw.
Already drawn that.
Oh, you have drawn that.
Yeah, for the Robin Bougie episode. All three of us in our underwear.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
No, we can't help but repeat.
I can't.
All right. You go there, see some of his art. You can also, if you feel like wearing a shirt, speaking of underpants and clothing, we sell shirts there. That's at our store. There's a bunch of new shirts there that are really fun. Why not check them out? Why not buy one?
Okay.
We will send them to you. And when we send them to you, we will send you some badges and other things and wigwags and blig-blags and whatever you want. We'll send stuff in the mail.
I think they're called gewgaws.
Gewgaws and tchotchkes and whatnots. We'll send on lots of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll send you some things.
But no gold.
No, you send us gold.
That's right.
Thanks for gold.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
No.
All right.
I feel complete now.
We will see you next week at this same location on your iPod or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mm.
And we thank you for your kind attention. It's really nice having you listen to us. We do appreciate that. We may, you know, we come off as cool cats, but, you know, this warms our hearts, you know?
Uh-huh. Do you think we come across as cool cats? Seriously.
You
and I, we seem cool.
You, in a past episode, went on about how you were a cool cat.
That's true. I am cool. You're right. I am cool. I forgot about that.
Nothing cooler than that. So cool you forget you're cool.
Well, it's so ingrained in me, I don't need to prove it or even remember it.
Yep. Any size underpants fit him. Any size. Science can't explain it. Can you? Please do on our message boards. SeekyDragon.com. That's our show. Thanks for listening.
You're a mean one, Mr. Gaunch. You really are a heel.
Stop putting your heel in your gaunch. That's not how you wear gaunch, Mr. Gaunch.